Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
So, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim here with Ed. Steve Jordahl joins us now from some undisclosed location.
I'm in a bunker.
So I'm the hand-to-face policeman in our family.
Yes.
I can't believe I've turned into this. Huh?
I can't either. I'm proud of you. Because this is me moving from an 8 to 9 on the OCD scale. You've moved from a 3 to a 10.
I know. I almost can't help myself. Because we're all so used to, you got an itch on your eyelid whatever you need to do, or we do it subconsciously every day, all day, most of us, and it's just hard to get used to adjusting in that way. So I'm appointing myself, hand-to-face policeman in our family, so they're getting a little annoyed with it.
You're the hand-to-face czar?
Yeah, my family members are getting a little annoyed to it, but you know what? That's what leadership is.
That's right. You got to be willing to take the heat.
They're going to get a little annoyed. That's okay, because somebody's got to do that job. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio, folks. We understand completely that extremely serious situation in our country and in our world with this. We don't ever mean to make light of that in any way. But at the same time, life goes on.
Gotta laugh a little bit.
Gotta laugh a little bit. And you also, if we just completely, Steve, live in fear. I was reading yesterday Psalm 46, I think, and the Bible tells us over and over again, do not give in to fear and anxiety. That's something some fight harder than others, just with everyday life. It's one of those easier said than done things, but I think that's the reason the Bible tells us over and over again, trust in God, trust in God, trust in God, trust in God. Go ahead.
And I will say this, and then we'll actually include Steve in on some of these conversations, but, when I first moved to the South, most of our listeners probably know by now, I'm a Boston boy, and through a roundabout way, met my wife, who's a Mississippi girl, met her at Bible college. We got married, and I've been living in Mississippi with the exception of 1 year since 1985. And for many, many years, I would do things, not always, but I would do things like I would eat a chicken breast with a knife and fork. And people down here just mocked me. Sometimes I've even eaten pizza with a knife and fork. So all I want to say now is all the people who mocked me, who's laughing now? Okay? You want to eat your food and then lick your fingers afterwards? Okay? Break quarantine? Go right ahead. So how do you like them apples?
I'm confused about the chicken breast thing, Ed, because when I think of a chicken breast, I think of the thing you get at Safeway, which is the breast that you can fry up in a pan and serve with green beans and such. And you used to pick those things up with your bare hands?
I'll tell you another.
Green beans?
No, the chicken breast that you cook along with the green beans. Because it didn't sound like you're talking about fried chicken.
Oh, it wouldn't matter. Whatever the chicken was, I would eat with a knife and fork.
Yeah.
People would just mock me.
Most civilized people do, unless it's fried chicken. But that's just me.
I would say eating fried chicken with your knife and fork, that's borders on sacrilege.
That is. That is.
Huh? I mean, you should be shamed if you're doing that. You know what? Another problem that we're finding out amongst ourselves here is that a lot of us are huggers.
Yeah.
Hmm. I mean, on a hugging scale, I would 1 to 10, 10 being
Joe Biden.
10, 10, 10, 10, yeah. Hey, touche.
That was good.
Steve, that's why we're here. That's why you're here, brother. Joe Biden being a 10, I would say I'm probably a 5 or 6. I mean, a lot of people are. At least in American males in particular, handshakes are a way of life.
yeah,
every day, and we're just having to get used to learning to be rude. Huh? Am I right? We're all learning how to be rude to one
that's
another.
Right.
But that's just the world we live in right now, as six feet apart. You know what? I don't know when we're going to get back to sporting events. I know that's low down on the totem pole right now, but Steve, my word, football season, people packed in by the tens of thousands.
You can't even
least.
Have training camp. How could you have
and
training
we're right
camp?
We're right beside each other.
Yeah, I read today there's something about the Major League Baseball proposing setting back the season to have the World Series on Christmas Day. Or around Christmas Day.
No, you're not serious, are
you?
No,
they were serious. They're thinking that that's probably when we'd know for through it and everything, and maybe by next winter we'd have a...
You can't. I mean, sometimes if the playoffs or the World Series, which is in October, mm-hmm. you'll see pitchers trying to keep their hands warm. I can't imagine them playing in an outdoor stadium.
Well, everybody's trying to
figure
out what to do. I mentioned this the other day when I brought in some sound from the virtual race, the iRacing that NASCAR did. It was so successful, that race, as far as ratings, that they have now, they're starting this Sunday, implementing a series of races with professional drivers behind their computers virtually racing. And it was fascinating. It really was.
All right.
So there is sports.
Yes. Well, I'm looking. Hey, let me ask you guys this, Steve. Let me ask you this. Present yesterday, there's two things I don't need to forget about. Ed, you through texting?
So you, no, I'm sorry. I was actually looking up a
story. I'm counting on you to,
I was looking up a story related to our discussion of sports because the Bruins at TD Garden melted the ice.
NHL hockey team.
NHL hockey team. They melted the ice because it's looking like the season may be delayed. Delayed. So anyway, I was going to throw that in, but it probably did look like I was texting. I was
That's
not,
okay.
sir.
I forgot what I was going to. What was I see? That's the way.
That's a lesson for
that's
you.
That's the
right
way
there.
I delegate.
Let me.
I tell people. Remind me. remind me to do so and so. That way, it's off me. And
that's
if I forget to do it, I say I told you to remind me. Why did you?
That's right.
Anyway, go ahead, Steve.
I just wanted to start with a couple of the unforeseen consequences of this. For example, did you know that the coronavirus is turning Catholics into Protestants?
How's that?
Be careful, Steve.
Yeah, be careful. We have
careful
Catholic
right
listeners.
There.
Pope Francis said during a mass service Friday that people who cannot meet with a priest due to the coronavirus crisis should instead confess their sins directly to God on their own.
He said that?
Yeah, he did. And it's also bringing...
That's a pretty big deal.
I know. It's also bringing conservatives out of the woodwork in Hollywood, of all places. I don't know if y'all saw the string of Hollywood B-listers who decided to serenade a country desperately seeking, starting to pray and acknowledge God in the atheistic anthem Imagine, but they did.
I saw that.
Well,
pathetic.
A conservative actor in Hollywood, and yes, there is such a thing, his name is Nick Searcy, he responded with this. This is cut 7.
Oh my word! That's
you cut it off too soon.
Oh, what did he say?
Then he says, "But I want you to join me. Go and buy a gun."
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, he's persona non grata there now.
That song by John Lennon is the most depressing song I've ever heard.
It really is for those of us who
I don't know why these people think it's inspirational. It talks about no heaven and no hell, no religion.
Yeah.
That's just absolute hopelessness. Huh?
Yeah.
No. And he says, imagine all the people living in peace. I know it's just a song.
Yeah.
But I mean, people living in peace. Let's look at where atheism dominates. Can anybody say Stalin?
Right.
Can anybody say
Castro?
Mao? Are we talking about some of the greatest murderers, mass murderers of all time have been atheists?
Yep.
And so, atheism is just pure hopelessness. What, yeah. If atheism, what does anything really matter? If nothing's of eternal consequence, man, that was good.
Right that there. Was.
I need to write that down. I said that.
Well, and now I got to say to Steve Jordahl, thank you for getting that song stuck in my head.
You're welcome. I do what I can.
All right, Steve.
So it looks like we have a deal on this third coronavirus relief package.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure when they're going to vote on it, but it could be that they do a unanimous consent in the House, which would avoid having to do a roll call vote and everything. Nancy Pelosi's kind of come around on this. She tried to sneak a bunch of stuff in and got caught. So she backed off, and they just decided they realized they had to do something. Let me give you just a couple of things that are in it. One of them does really concern me. But the package would specifically replace the salaries of furloughed workers for 4 months. Furloughed workers would get whatever the state usually provides for unemployment plus $600 a week. Every American adult will get a one-time payment of $1,200 and $500 per child. There's about $367 billion for small businesses, $500 billion for loans to larger businesses. There's some tax credit stuff. You can defer your tax filing. But this is what concerns me. They did put in $400 million in election assistance to help states expand early voting and vote-by-mail options. And the reason that concerns me is because the Democrats for a long time have been wanting to do this same-day registration, ballot harvesting, going and collecting votes. They will do anything they can to tweak an election. They've shown documented cases like in Minnesota when that comedian guy was elected senator, Al Franken.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned that they're sticking some things in here that are kind of their socialist bent. Well, and they might not be able to undo them.
There are many secular progressives, not all Democrats, but there are a lot of. There is a percentage of people in the Democrat Party and the progressive movement. They want people here who are here illegally to be able to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, give them driver's license. Why not let them vote? Now, they may not say that out loud, although AOC, I think, some of them are. I mean, Bernie Sanders wants the federal prisoners to be able to vote.
It's already happening, by the way, at local elections.
What's that?
A lot of local elections allow illegal aliens to vote on things like school bonds and such because they argue they're affected by it too.
Yeah, and let me just say this. It may not be an explicit, hey, let's let illegals vote, all right? What the Democrats would like to do is increase the chances of voter fraud, which benefits them.
Yeah.
So you have, who is it that fights against voter ID? Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
They call that voter suppression. You got to have an ID to get a library book.
Right.
You got to have a government ID, a photo ID, to get on an airplane.
Right.
But these people, you'll hear them. They'll say, "Oh, you shouldn't have to have an ID to vote. That's voter suppression."
Yeah, they don't call it when you have to have a voter ID to get a library card. They don't call that reading suppression.
No.
They don't call that travel suppression when you have to show when to get on a plane.
No, good point, Ed. What they want to do is they want to have it where people can basically vote without being proved that they're a citizen. That's what they're drive-by voting and same-day registration. That's what Nancy Pelosi tried to put in that bill, right?
Yes.
That's insane.
She did.
Same-day registration. You don't even have time to check to see if the person's eligible to vote. You just and by the time you do say
bingo.
Okay, well maybe we got 500 people here who registered on the same day. And we don't even know if they're citizens. No, you're just trying to, you just want to go back and recount because you're not happy with the results.
Well, the election would be over. I mean, if you had people voting under those circumstances and you went back and proved that there were, whatever number, and it changed the election, it's over. Once the Secretary of State for State has validated the election results, the election's over. You can't go back and overthrow it and change it.
What else you got, Steve?
Well, it just there's a couple other things that some on the more radical senators or Congress people in D.C. are proposing. These things did not, let me be clear, make it into the bill, but they are still what Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar want to happen. Rashida Tlaib wants...
You're talking about two of the four squad members?
Two of the four squad members, and I'm sure that the other two of the squad would agree with all of these as well. But Rashida Tlaib from Michigan has come out and said, in an attempt to ease the burden on hospitals, she wants an immediate government takeover of hospitals.
Yeah, she is a radical. She wants, and she admits that this is a radical idea. She said, I know this is a radical idea. She tweeted, all private hospitals should be made public for the duration of the virus. The federal government should take over all private hospitals. You think she wants to give them back after it's over?
Not a chance. And this is, they're basically, it's single payer by fiat. Ilhan Omar has suggested that Rashida Tlaib wants a, here's what, Ilhan Omar wants the hospitals. Rashida Tlaib, I'm correcting myself here, wants a universal basic income. She wants a debit card with $2,000 sent to every person and reloaded with $1,000 a month until a year after the coronavirus crisis. They want to, by virtue of this emergency and this crisis, introduce their like you say, they're not going to give these things back when all of a sudden we're back on a footing. We're there.
Right. And of course, these people want single-payer, government-run health care, and they see this coronavirus pandemic as an opportunity to take a step towards it. I've gotten to the place, I'm sure the other side feels the same way about us, but I've gotten to the place where I don't trust any of these people. I don't think that Ilhan Omar thinks that this should be a temporary measure during the coronavirus pandemic. I think she sees this as an opportunity to take a step to where she wants to go.
Camel's nose under the tent.
Right.
Yeah. You know what bothers me about most, one of the things that bothers me most about some people, and I had a friend who did this one time, and it ended our friendship, and that is you intentionally take somebody's statement, or you know what they're trying to say, and you split hairs, or you try to make them say what they never intended to say, but you want people, but you take their words out of context. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
What the old saying, the worst lie is a half truth. So I had a friend who did this often, and I finally just said, we can't, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not going to participate in this. But that's what they do with Trump, President Trump, every day. Now, Trump misspeaks sometimes. I mean, he just lets it fly. But
right.
We've known that for, that's who he is, okay? And he talks like a regular person oftentimes in the way he describes things. He doesn't have a huge thesaurus of a vocabulary,
right?
All right? And a lot of us don't. So, but he speaks in plain language. And he says things that if you want to misconstrue them on purpose, they're probably easy to do. For example, just yesterday, he said, I don't know if they were in the Rose Garden, wherever they were, the president and Surgeon General, the lady doctor who's helping with this, and the vice president. But the president's talking about he hopes that we can open the country back up after Easter. Right? Isn't that what he said?
Right.
Okay.
We have 20 seconds of him saying that if you want to hear it.
Let's hear it.
Cut two, Brent, please.
I'd love to have it open by Easter. Okay, I would love to have it open by Easter. I will tell you that right now. I would love to have that. It's such an important day for other reasons, but I'll make it an important day for this, too. I would love to have the country opened up and just raring to go by Easter.
Okay, that's what he said right there. I use the word hope that he said, but that's what he's insinuating. You will have to wait and see the conditions on the ground.
Right.
And he made a very good case that a lot of people agree with. And that is to say, if you carry this on too long, then the cure is worse than the disease. That is a total economic collapse, i.e. the Great Depression, number two, would kill far more people than a virus. And who knows what the virus will end up killing in our country. But he's just saying you cannot close down the country indefinitely. That's the argument that he's been making. And he's saying, I hope we can reopen at least some. And he said practice safe practices like social distancing.
Right.
He's not going to dismiss all that stuff and say, go back to hugging. Let's go back to football and basketball. He does say in that. But the liberal media intentionally takes what he said. Because I read it over and over last night and perusing the news on the internet. And they've got... They say Trump says reopen the country on Easter, and scientists say that's insane.
Right.
That's the way it's. And then you go on and read some. And I don't read many of these comments because you get you figure out what's going on pretty quick under all these articles.
Right.
And I don't know, the left must pay people to.
They do.
To be trolls, because it's just they got this Trump tard thing going on, and anybody who supports right. President Trump in any way. Is mentally retarded,
right?
And so, but this is the way that we're deplorables, right?
Right.
But interestingly, and so back to my thing about the worst lie is a half truth. So they do this to President Trump over and over and over again. They'll do it. CNN will do it 10 times a day. They'll say President Trump said that the virus was a hoax.
Right. Yes.
He didn't say that. He said the Democrats' political exploitation of this was a hoax.
Right.
You see, they do this every day, all day. Now, fortunately, a lot of Americans have caught on to this, the fake news. I saw yesterday where President Trump's approval rating on handling this is 60%+.
Right.
Among the general American public. So I think a lot of people caught on to this, but it just happens every single day. You want to have a fair criticism of somebody, at least be accurate in what they said and at least be accurate in the intention of what they said.
Right.
And then you can criticize it. I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Ed.
You're welcome.
But thanks to Brent and Abe and Chris.
Walker,
we hope you have a great day, folks. Keep trusting in God and pray for our president. We'll see you tomorrow.